Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to use the reading out of Lamentations chapter 3 as our text today. In my previous career, I would travel to the cities where we had salesmen and ride with them to make sales calls sometimes. And we were in Kansas City one time, and the salesman took us to an area where there were the kinds of factories we wanted to call on. And I noticed as we were driving through the area that the filling stations and the little shops all had bars over their windows and their doors. And, you know, it's probably a rougher neighborhood. I noticed when we got to the factories had bars over the doors and over the windows. And he pulled up in front of one, and I looked around, and I said, "I'm not getting out here." And he wasn't getting out of here, so we just started the car, and we drove off. We thought there might be safer neighborhoods to try selling him. It was nice to be able to just to escape that trouble. There are times in our lives when we wind up at frightening places and we can't just drive away, where we're in periods where we are lonely or where we're worried or where we have some trouble or where we battle some illness or where we have some difficulty. And even though we want to try to escape that, we cannot just drive away from that trouble. And one of the troubles, it's mentioned in our text, that I think is the worst of all are those times when we grieve, when we have grief in our lives. All of those troubles can weigh us down, and they're powerful, and they change our lives. But in my opinion, grief is a kind of weight that just crushes our lives at times. And I don't pretend to be an expert on the subject, but there are some things I think you should know about grief. First of all, it is not a sin to grieve. It is not a weakness. You are not a failure. You're not a loser when you grieve. Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus, saw the sadness of the sisters, and he grieved and he wept, the Bible says. Jesus stood above the city of Jerusalem and knew they were going to reject him, and he grieved for their act of rejection, and the Bible says he wept. If you are grieving at this moment, you are not sinning against God. Grief is how you deal with loss, and it's not a process you can hurry, and it's not a process you should ignore. Grief is an important part of dealing with those losses. If you know someone who is grieving, I encourage you to not be afraid to visit them. We get a feeling, if we know somebody who is suffering grief, we get a feeling that we don't want to be around them because they're going to ask us questions we cannot answer, or they're going to want us to explain why things are happening in their life, or they're going to want us to give them wisdom, and we don't feel like we know the answers. I encourage you to be at the side of people that are grieving, because most of the time what they need is someone who can listen, and you can do that. And if they ask you questions you cannot answer, tell them you cannot answer those questions, but hear out the stories of people that grieve. If you have a friend or a family member and their grief has outlasted your own, and you share their grief but you have gone past it, it's okay. Everybody grieves at a different pace. Don't try to hurry people along, and don't try to discount where they are. I urge you to listen to those people. I should avoid coming across as an expert of emotions. I'm not a trained, educated psychiatrist, but it seems to me we don't often talk about grief, and we do way too often experience grief. So I want to tell you it's okay to grieve, but I want to say more than that. And here's what I want to say. I want to say there is hope even when you grieve. Jeremiah saw the destruction of Jerusalem. He saw the temple demolished. He saw the lives of people devastated. He saw hunger, and he saw want, and he saw people taken captive, and he saw people slaughtered. And he knew, and he'd been telling them, he knew it was their fault. He knew they had left the safety of God. They had run to their own means, and he knew they deserved all the punishment, but he still grieved. And in the darkest moment of that grief, he writes our text, and he finds hope. I want to help you find hope in the midst of your grief. What he found was the darkness has an ending. The goodness of God goes on. And there's a lesson for us when you're captured by a season of grief that you need to hear. Because when you are captured by that grief, you lose the ability to see the good, and you lose the ability to hope that there can be an end to the grief. So I want to think about that with you a little bit. It seems to me the hardest path to walk is that long walk, that journey out of grief. Some losses, you lose people and you grieve for them, and you lose possessions and you grieve for them, and you lose a way of life and you grieve for that. But the grief does more than that. It takes away the energy you have to escape, and it takes away all the joy from your life, and it smothers out of you the reason for getting up in the morning. If you've never experienced that kind of grief, you will someday. It seems to be a part of life. It either lives in your memory and you have experienced it, or you are living in it right at this moment, or it waits for you in the future. And even when you have put it way behind you, it waits for you in holidays, and it lurks in quiet moments. When you think you have stepped away from it, suddenly it is there in a casual remark that someone would make. The church in Topeka, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, in the season of Christmas has a service. I think they call it Blue Christmas. But it is for people who are in the midst of all the joy of Christmas experiencing that grief. It's a wonderful idea. Jeremiah grieved for his city. He sat down at a spot, and they know where the spot is. You can visit it now. They know right where it was. And he made this lamentation for the city. It was on a hill outside Jerusalem called Golgotha, same place where Jesus later would bare his cheek to the one who attacked. I bring it up because that is where you find the new day. That is where you find the hope. That is where you find a reason to go on. If you suffer loss and you have blamed yourself for that, you carry a double burden. This is a time when you need to know that Jesus came to remove all the blame. Over and over again, when we are experiencing grief, constantly we are either blaming ourselves or pushing away the blame. But there's a feeling, if we'd have just said something sooner, it would not have happened. If we'd have just seen it coming, we would have prevented it. If we could have done something differently, we would have changed things. And we carry around not only the grief and the loss, we carry all of that blame. Jesus came to remove all of the blame from your life. Of course you have failed. Of course you have deserved punishment. Of course you have earned all of those troubles. What Jesus did was remove the earning from you and remove the guilt from you and absolutely remove from you the blame. It made a difference in your life. If you clutch that hurt close to your heart, He knows that, and He will not let you be lost, and He will not let you wander away alone, and He will not let you retreat from Him. He will walk beside you. He will run after you and gently enable you to let the hurt go. The hurt is not meant to last forever. The grief is not meant to go on. The steadfast love of God is meant to last forever. The steadfast love of God meant to go on. Jeremiah wept for a people that would come back home, and they would rebuild the city, and they would welcome someday the Son of God, and the sun would rise on a new day. I would like you to see in your future that new day. I would like you to understand that you are meant to go on. I know we have all had to say goodbye to people that we were missing in our lives. And I know we have had to say goodbye to things that we would never have again. And I know we have grieved over the changes in our life that we could not make better. But you have been left here. And I know God intends you go on. It does not please God that you would grieve. It does not please God that you would suffer. God intends you go on. Even if it seems impossible when you're standing in the darkness, there is a force more powerful than grief. You are loved by God. He will not rest until you see the sunrise of a new day, until you receive back again the joy of life and the hope that God has expectations for you in this world. His love lasts forever. It is stronger than death. It is stronger than loss. It is stronger than illness. It is stronger than grief. Our text said this amazing thing. It didn't say go climb a mountain and find that power. It didn't say go discover God somewhere and develop that power. What it said was wait, wait. If you cannot find your way to a new day, then wait for Him. And you are to wait quietly. Sometimes faith shows itself more in what we do not say rather than in what we do. Hold back, if you can, the words of unbelief and doubt. Hold back, if you can, the words of despair. Understand that you will fail sometimes, that you will fall short of what God calls you to do, and that you finally have earned His punishment. Jesus took the blame away, remember? You have no blame under your name. Don't get trapped with the feeling that somehow you have to suffer through all of this because you have been bad, because you have not been good. He earned all of the good. He paid for all of the bad. And He intends that we possess the good. If you are in that hard place, then your prayers are not about riches or success. You are not chasing dreams and the next reason to have a party or to celebrate or to be filled with laughter. You long just to survive, to see the sun come up in the morning. I ask you to wait with a kind of confidence and a love that was measured by that one day on that one hill outside Jerusalem when the Son of God, Creator of the universe, spread His arms to be tortured for the penalty of your death. He measured the amount of love He has for you. It is an unending love. It will not stop. It will run after you and capture you and pull you back home. He will not let you stray. He will not let you be abandoned. He will lift you up and carry you finally to the joy that is heaven. There are these spectacular words in our text, and sometimes the text is a much better sermon than I could give. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. God grant that to you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.